You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Welcome to Breadline from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union on Community Radio 3CR.
So put down that job plan and listen to us.
I'd first like to acknowledge that this program is being broadcast from the lands of the Wurundjeri of the Kulin Nation. So their sovereignty was never ceded, and we want to pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging. And we also acknowledge that the unfairness of the welfare system disproportionately affects First Nations people.
Hello, everybody. My name is Daryl, and welcome back to another exciting episode of The Breadline Show, brought to you by the Australian Unemployed Workers Union here on 3CR Community Radio, 8:55 a.m. on your dial or online at 3cr.org.au. And just to remind you, our advocacy line is currently closed until the 6th of January. But for anything more urgent, you can email us at advocacy@auwu.org.au. All right, now this show, we're going to dedicate this to parents on Job Seeker. Now, I have an interview that was recorded earlier with Sally, who's been on our show before, and we're going to have a listen to what she has to say about that. So here we go.
And hi, Sally. We're hoping to talk to you about your situation. You've been on some of our AUWU Zooms. Welcome to Breadline.
Thank you.
And can you tell us a bit about your situation, Sally?
I'm a single parent who is on Job Seeker, and so that means found that looking for work can be harder if you don't have photo ID. So I'm getting, I feel strongly about helping job seekers to get a photo ID.
Yeah, good point. And I remember talking to another person on one of our Zooms about the pressure they had as a parent being put on courses, for example, by the job agencies, which really sort of made it hard for them to pick up their kids from school, that kind of thing. Do you ever have those sort of hassles?
Well, the fact is that that's very specific to what type of parent you are. And for those of us who choose to look after our children, that happens, and it's very hard. I mean, I was devastated when the Gillard government changed the rules regarding, you know, the time frame. People used to be able to get the parenting payment until 16, and now they're forced into obligations when the child is 8. And I will never forget how it felt when I got the letter from Centrelink, and I was told that by them that parenting was no longer my primary role, because in my opinion it was. And looking at an 8-year-old child, there's no way that I would say that a single parent is able to leave that child and go out to work. I understand that some people have some really fantastic situations where they have parents or grandparents or even friends who can care for their children, but what about the people who don't want to do that?
Yeah, I was just really upset when they brought that in, because it's basically expecting people to choose between their obligations and care for their children. And
it's just disgusting. It's disgusting.
And it brings basically a whole new stress into your life, as if we haven't got enough stress trying to survive on in this so-called cost of living crisis. Yeah. Now, what were your investigations about the ID then, Sally?
Well, what I've found, for example, I went for a work from home job recently, and I was offered the job. After I was offered the job, I accepted, obviously, because it was work from home, it's always been my goal to find a work from home position. After I was accepted for this job, and they started asking me to fulfill certain obligations, which I don't believe most job seekers can fulfill. Like, for example, there's always, you know, have you got 2 references? No. I bet you, you know, $1 million that the majority of job seekers that you would interview on any given day do not have references, because even if you did have a job and you did have the most wonderful references in the world, they dry up after you become long-term unemployed or after you become a parent for many years. It's just unrealistic. Also, the other thing that they wanted was photo ID. This was really stressful for me because I didn't know that I was going to be asked for those things. And obviously, because they offered me the job before they asked me for those things. I mean, if it was that important, I would have preferred them to ask me those questions first off. But I can tell you, so I didn't end up getting that job, and I can tell you, not having photo ID affects your self-confidence. If you're isolated from your family, if you have, you know, problems like with anxiety or self-confidence or connection with other people, like if you're not just isolated from your family but you're socially isolated, it can be very hard to get ID because the way the system works in Australia is that you need to have other people who will vouch for you in order to get ID. And that is one thing that I feel very strongly about. I believe that if someone is isolated, poor, disadvantaged, that they should be able to walk into Centrelink or Vic Roads and say, I'd like ID, and have the government employees assist them to do that. And I think that the idea that you need referees for passports and proof of age cards is very unfair, and to be honest, I don't think it's realistic, and I have to question what the motive is in making sure that people have another person to vouch for them. I mean, if push comes to shove, I would be willing to give my fingerprints. That's how desperate I was to get ID because it was so important to me because of the way I'd been treated because I didn't have it.
Well, that's desperation, all right. Yeah.
And
I think people are entitled to photo ID. I mean, I'd like to see a situation where you get a letter from Centrelink when you apply for a benefit and they say, okay, your appointment is on the 14th of November at 9 a.m. come in with all your ID, and then on the 15th of November you need to turn up at Vic Roads and they're going to issue you with a photo ID because you don't have one.
Yeah.
And it's important that you do.
Exactly.
That's
well. That what they try and, you know, that is helping you being job ready, as they say. And, yeah, really good point, Sally, because we talked about it a bit on the Zoom and we talked about how politicians should be able to help in these situations. But as you're saying, it should be automatic as a process of Centrelink, because if Centrelink are going to give you payments, then obviously you exist. So you shouldn't have to prove your existence. They know exactly all about you. They know what your dependents are, where you live, etc. So, yeah, I think we're going to have to finish our talk, but what we want to do is follow that up and not let go of that issue, because you've just identified a really big problem, which, again, you'd think these well-funded job service providers should be actually sorting. We shouldn't have to even be talking about this on Breadline.
Can I add something?
Yes.
When I filled out the application form, the first person that I thought of asking to go as my referee for my proof of age was my consultant, or basically anyone at the local job centre. So I went down there with the form and my ID, and I asked them to sign it, and they said no.
Mm.
Okay, they claimed that the department instructed them not to do that, but I didn't believe them because I had been a different job centre previously and they helped me to get my Working with Children check, and they signed it for me and they paid for it for me, and these people say no. So what I'd like to say is, if it's true that the department are instructing the job centres or the consultants at the job centres not to sign people's forms, that is something that needs to be changed, because there are some people who don't have anyone else. Or if they do have other people, it may be convenient for them to get at the job centre. It is, I would find it very, you'd have to question, you know, the motive of a decision to refuse to assist people in getting their ID.
Yeah.
I think that the job centres need to give people as much help as possible.
Absolutely, and that's supposed to be what they're there for, and people, that's what a lot of people have the illusion that they're doing, but we know better, unfortunately. So thanks very much, Sally, for coming on Breadline.
And, yeah, thanks so much, Sally.
We'll hopefully talk again about this and try and get maybe a someone who can actually justify why they're not doing that.
All right. Well, thank you for having me on. on.
Okay,
oh,
bye.
You're welcome, Sally. Anytime. Bye.
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 You're listening to a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned to hear the rest of your 3CR podcast.
Okay, we have a special guest. Well, my co-host, actually. Jessica. Hello, Jessica. Are you there?
Yeah, hi. I'm here.
Oh, fantastic. You shouldn't be. I'm sure I pressed the wrong button here, but anyway.
That's okay. Well,
I just want to let you know I got my finger on the dump button here.
Oh, right, in case I say anything unsuitable. Right, yeah. Okay. Well, first of all, I was going to say thanks very much for panelling today, which gives me a break. And
welcome.
And also probably apologies to the listeners for the bad quality of the line that Sally was talking to us on just before, but... Yeah, I suppose, really, I mean,
you should have heard it before I fixed it.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
well, we'll have her go again. But it sort of ties in with the issue about getting proper ID to be able to get your payments and other help. It sort of ties in with that interview you did, Daryl, with the gay centre in St Kilda, because they were helping people talk to a JP rather than have to go to the police. So
yeah, the document signing centre.
Yeah. Mm. So again, and I would like to be able to get any politician on Redline at some point to actually talk about these issues. I looked a bit into the whole thing about being a single parent and receiving the benefits, and we were talking about the fact that there are these so-called mutual obligations, which we know only too well.
Yeah.
And so what happens if you've got a child over six and you're a single parent? You do have to fit in with these mutual obligations. And I'm on the website right now. It says, first of all, they threaten you with penalties. They say you have to accept any offer of suitable paid work.
Yeah.
Great little intro to the whole thing. And you'll get a penalty if you either don't accept a suitable job offer and then don't start a job that you've accepted.
That's only jobs that, like, during school hours, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, this is when I was looking at the fine print. Well, it's, of course, I just find reading these websites excruciating. But anyway, it says you don't have to accept the offer of work that is either not suitable or more than 15 hours per week. And then... And, of course, a reason, and they list the reasons why it wouldn't be suitable, such as no appropriate childcare and the travel from home to work is unreasonable. For example, it's more than 1 hour travel each way.
Yeah.
So on the website, you can actually read that it's not so unreasonable. But the thing is that a lot of it is very arbitrary because it comes down to your job service provider worker. It's very... If they, for example, take a dislike to you, they could give you a penalty and say that, you know, and query whether you were, you know, whether it was legitimate for you to refuse a job in these sort of situations. So I think, as I said when we were talking to Sally, it just puts very unfair pressure on you when you've already got single parent responsibilities for a child from six onwards, you know, which is fairly young.
And not to mention the cost of childcare as well.
That's right, yeah. And, of course, there's a whole lot of rigmarole about study or training, and also you can do voluntary work for if you're aged under 55. So there are a few ways around it, but I think back to someone we talked to on one of the Zooms who was having the sort of pressure to do the courses, and it was interfering with their school pickup times, but they basically had the same sort of pressure that they have to do the course or else they might get a demerit point or might get their payment suspended. So,
And the courses they do, they're a bit of a... Well, to get any sort of qualification... Or in anything, you would need to do a full-time course for a minimum of 3 years. None of the courses they offer you go anywhere near that. So how does that help? I just can't see that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, basically, yeah, it's the rock and the hard place. You know, there's also a whole lot of issues if you're sort of recently separated from your partner, or say, you know, the other parent of your kid, of your child, because you've got to prove that you're the principal carer before you're allowed to get these payments. And and then, of course, if you've got some kind of shared care responsibility, which a lot of people have, then that could end you up with a big argument with the person you've just split up with, about those arrangements. I can just imagine if you're just new to this system, just tearing your hair out, really.
Oh, it'd be a real shock, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And not to mention all the ill feelings and all that from the separation itself.
That
rarely goes smoothly.
Yeah, that's right. So the bottom line is, after once your youngest child has turned six, you have to do these mutual obligations, which is completely wrong. And, you know, as we've said before on the show, the sooner mutual obligations are abolished, not just paused over Christmas, but abolished altogether, the better.
Yeah, and we'll be able to concentrate better on our future then.
Yeah, that's right, and actually doing courses that might lead to actual employment in a sort of measured way, rather than with the sort of pressure that you might get cut off unless you accept whatever course it is.
Yeah. All right. Well, gee, this half an hour shot through by, so I'm going to have to let you go here now, Jessica.
Thanks
very much.
All right, you're getting rid of me then.
Oh, I'm afraid I have to.
You haven't had to at least press the dump button. I haven't said anything that bad.
The what?
You haven't had to.
Well, I wasn't expecting you. Expecting to, not from someone like you, Jessica.
Well, thank you.
You're as straight as I can see. Love you.
Right. Well, I'll be back on the show in 2 weeks, and good luck with the show next week. I will try and find some kind of hot item for you to cover.
Yeah. Well, it'd be great to have you back, Jess.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks very much. And bye.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Okay. That was Jessica. Now we'll finish off. All right. So until then, be back again next week. Bye.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.